Welcome, Capital Raisers. J.E. Steiner is fresh in the game of syndication, and I got to interview him today on how he raised his first $800,000 in less than a year. Are you guys ready to raise? Shout out to InvestNext, our investor portal of choice, and to our great friends at the Family Office Club. Do not miss the Strategic Capital Raise Conference on June 7th and 8th, 2024. It's going to be fire with over 50 speakers and 1,000 registrants. Get your free tickets now at strategiccapitalraise.com. With that, it's Capital Raiser Show, episode 304, and it starts now. Rock and roll, I got J.E. Steiner on the Capital Raiser Show. Welcome, brother. How the heck are you, man?
Man, doing well. Doing well. Great to be here.
Sweet, dude. Excited to interview you. This is going to be a lot of fun. The Capital Raiser Show Season 4 brought to you by our friends at Family Office Club and our newest sponsor, InvestNext. So really excited to dive in with J.E. He's a newer capital raiser, works with Josh Ferrari and his team. So this is going to be really cool. For the audience that has not met you yet, J.E., tell us a little bit about your background, how you got involved in real estate syndication.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. Kind of taken my way, roundabout way to get here. So kind of dabbled in and out of different business ventures. So started with opening a logistics office down here in Dallas and then kind of moved into the sales route. And now my full-time job is I sell tech to multifamily owner operators. And then on the side, kind of use that as a springboard into the syndication route. So building relationships day in, day out, and translating that into buying properties, raising money, and going the syndication route as well. So really enjoying it.
Cool. And then did you say that you sell tech to real estate operators?
Yeah, I do.
What is that?
So the quick pitch is I sell a service called Flex to multifamily owner operators. So it's an additional payment option for residents, no cost to the property, and simply gives residents a flexible way to pay rent. So we pay their rent on the first in full, and then the resident can split it up with us on a schedule that better fits their needs. So really a win-win, and I love it.
Fascinating. Does that help you at all in connecting with other people that you work with in your real estate business, or do you keep those completely distinct?
No, no doubt. It's definitely been honestly a springboard because I live and breathe real estate. And so honestly, using those connections to then carry forward and help make more connections, both from a Flex standpoint, but then also from a just finding and identifying property standpoint, they have really great synergies working together.
Cool. How long have you been interested in working in the real estate syndication space? How long ago did that start?
I would say I jumped all into it beginning of this year. So joined the mastermind, Three Beach Capital, Josh Ferrari, for those familiar, middle of January, and have just been running full steam ahead with it since. So about, 9 months, almost 10 months now.
Okay, cool. I did a creative capital challenge with Josh, I think like 2 years ago or something like that. That was a lot of fun. And then since then, he's worked with a company, I think it's called Funnels That Convert, to launch his own mastermind, but I don't know too much about it, man. And I haven't caught up with him. Can you tell us about that program, how it's helped you get into the syndication space?
Honestly, it's been incredible. So he and his two business partners run it and they cover everything A to Z. So whether that's raising money, identifying properties, building relationships with property managers, brokers, attorneys, you name it, they cover it. And so honestly, it's given me an incredible just framework for what I'm walking into and also just feeling comfortable and confident in those conversations, just with lenders, with brokers, identifying, underwriting properties, the asset management side of things. Once we own properties, just comfortable talking to future investors about what investing in real estate's all about, what it looks like, pros, cons. And so it's honestly been a huge blessing and something it's definitely helped accelerate my path for sure.
Cool. And most people, they're typically in one side of one aspect of the business. They are usually just a cog in the spoke because most people, unless your name is Brad Sumrock, don't try and do the property management, the acquisition, the raising capital, and everything else that you could potentially do within this crazy business. So what have you focused on specifically? Is it on the underwriting? Is it on the capital raising? Or are you doing multiple things?
So I would say starting off, just getting my hands wet in everything. So I underwrite deals. I go out and meet with brokers to find new deals. I love building relationships with future investors. So on the syndication or the capital raising side. And so really just taking an opportunity to learn about all aspects while I start honing in on the areas that I really enjoy the most. And I've got a great business partner. He is more of the finance numbers guy. So frankly, I find deals, I do a quick analysis and I kick it over to him to do more of the deep underwriting so I can continue to build relationships with brokers and future investors, which is what I really love doing.
Okay. And then you and your partner are the owner operators of the deals that you're looking to take down in the future?
Yeah. So definitely going to obviously own them. And then from a property management side, I've started building relationships with some third-party fee managers to do the property management side of things. So that way we can continue to focus on acquiring new properties and let them focus on what they're good at, which is running the property to its best use.
Okay, cool. And then on the raising capital, who helps you with that? Is that all you or who participates in that? Do you work with GoJPs? Tell me more about that side of things.
As it stands today, we're currently doing it all my business partner and I. So just going out there, raising money to then deploy into assets. That being said, we have had a few conversations on the larger assets, I think 250, 300 unit deals where we would co-GP with an operator that has a lot of experience and we either bring capital to the table or we would just bring the deal plus some capital to the table and then let his or her expertise kind of take it from there and run it together. So we've explored both, but currently the deals that I'm underwriting are between the 50 to 100 unit range. And so for those, we would take down and do ourselves.
Okay, and what kind of deals have you done so far?
Yeah, so my business partner and I, we've done some smaller deals. So about a 10 unit development down in just south of Austin, and then just a couple smaller 2-4 unit deals. So I'm really looking to move more into the true multifamily space, just for scale and honestly, simplicity in the deals.
Okay, cool. A lot of people that are trying to get into the world of syndication, it's kind of intimidating to go out and try and take down a 200 unit property if nobody in your family has ever done it. And they like to start, and it makes sense, I think, to start with smaller properties, depending on what your goals are and what you're trying to accomplish. So let's kind of break down some of the stuff that you've done. You mentioned a development deal. So what made you choose development over an existing asset? Is it a ground up development?
Yeah, ground up. Honestly, I like the current asset acquisition. I'm just your traditional value add. However, stars kind of aligned. We had a good relationship with a contractor, found a piece of land at a really good price in a really good area. And so honestly, just decided to move with it and run with it. So that's honestly how that came about. But typically, I would say what our bread and butter is, what we prefer doing is your traditional value add, acquire an existing asset, put some love into it, make it look nicer, more appealing, and just more comfortable for residents to live in, and then continue to do that. So that's honestly our bread and butter, what we prefer, but the development kind of just fell into our lap.
Okay. And then the partnership opportunities on these three deals, how did you put those together in terms of like who's going to do what, who's going to raise the capital? Tell me more about that. I want to know who's doing all of those functions.
A lot of it is us wearing all the hats. So awesome. We each have a piece in it. I would say I do more of the capital raising and just the relationship in terms of identifying the deal. And then again, my business partner, he is very analytical, very numbers driven. And so his bread and butter is making sure the numbers fit, the numbers match together, and that everything is operating smoothly.
Okay. So you mentioned the raising capital side. What have you done to raise capital? What have you learned along the way so far?
The biggest learning I have learned is honestly just don't be afraid to talk to anyone and everyone. That's honestly where I've found the most success is just putting myself out there. I've messaged people on LinkedIn. I've cold called owners. I've met people at networking events. And honestly, from there, I just ask questions. I learn from them. And then typically during those conversations, the person I'm speaking to is like, hey, like you should actually chat with so-and-so and so-and-so. And then I'll just go and chat with them. And so my goal is to walk away from each conversation, one, providing value to whoever I'm talking with, but then two, to get a couple names to then go and reach out to after our conversation. And that's kind of just multiplied my conversations across the board and opened up a lot of really neat opportunities.
Referrals is a huge thing. What about like getting in front of more people? There's some people in the industry that say, hey, you need to get out, create omnipresence, be everywhere, get on podcasts. possibly create a platform? What are you doing to get exposure, get your name out there? Or is it all referrals?
So I'm trying to boost my LinkedIn presence. So starting to post more frequently. I'm actually also about to embark on the 30-day challenge. So you'll see my name popping up more and more on LinkedIn. But my bread and butter is I use LinkedIn a lot. I love LinkedIn. I'm comfortable with it. And so I'm honing in on my LinkedIn presence. And then from there, starting to branch out into other areas. Because for me, it's too complex to try to learn every social network out there. And so I want to be really proficient at one and then take those learnings and apply it to Twitter, to Instagram, to Facebook. But I really want to master one and then use that to as almost a springboard into the others.
And what's the 30-day challenge? I'm curious about this.
It's a 30-day capital raising challenge. Really what that means is just putting myself out there for 30 days, letting the public know exactly what JE, what I am up to. And then honestly, just educating people. A lot of just the people I have had conversations with up to date, they know about real estate. Real estate's cool, but they don't actually know how to get into it, whether on the full hands-on level like syndications or just the investor level, taking advantage of those wealth creation benefits. And it's funny. So I work in what is called the prop tech world, people selling technology to multifamily owner operators. And it's amazing how many people that have worked in this space for years and years and years, but have never actually thought about investing in real estate. And so my goal is honestly to just be a way to shed light into ways to take, hey, you just made a great commission. Now let's amplify it. Let's multiply it by investing it in a deal. Whether it's me or whether it's someone else, my goal is to just help inform people of what's out there.
Okay, cool. And what kind of stuff are you going to post? How are you going to educate and nurture people? And what are you going to educate and nurture them about?
I think biggest one is just to start to sharing my story. I am a very average dude. And I think that is honestly a really cool thing for people to see. Hey, average, normal, ordinary people can be in real estate. You don't have to be the Grant Cardones, the Brad Sumrocks. You don't have to have millions and millions of dollars to get into real estate. You can do it simply by just working hard and investing small amounts and building it up from there. And so that's what I want to share with people. But then too, just how to identify what a good deal is, what to look like when you're thinking about investing in a syndication group. What are red flags? Like, how do you go about even finding these opportunities? And then those are the things I want to share with others. And then also give them a sneak peek on the other end of, hey, what do I look for in a deal? How do I identify what's a good deal? What's not a good deal? And just really providing value from like a 360 degree viewpoint.
Okay, cool. And then what's the asset class that you're going to be telling people about? And what are your feelings on the asset class during these economic uncertain times?
Yeah, uncertain to say the least. So for me, it's BNC asset classes. So I like the value add play, being able to take a older, typically more rundown property and beautifying and making it comfortable to live in a place where residents are proud to call home. So that's really what I'm looking for. I really like that asset class because as there is this uncertainty, some residents don't want to bite off a new Class A luxury lease, but they feel more comfortable in a Class B home where they get everything that they need and they have some really great amenities, but they may not have a rooftop pool. That may not be a need per se. Those are more wants. And so as there is a lot of uncertainty, people really hone in on their needs. They take the wants when they can get them, but they really focus on how do I take care of myself and my family well and protect us for the future. And so that's kind of the group of residents and the asset classes that I'm looking at.
Okay. So you mentioned that you've raised around $800,000 and this is your first year. It's not even been a full year yet. For the person that's listening in wondering, is it possible for me to raise capital? Can you share a little bit about what was your process for going out and doing that? Was it just what you mentioned earlier, talking to people and getting out there, did you raise that all for one deal or was it multiple deals?
When I first started off, I just told everyone I worked with, everyone, all of my friends that I hung out with, hey, I'm into real estate. This is what I'm doing. And so honestly, that's where the first 800,000 came from, was coworkers, was family, was friends, just putting myself out there and telling my family members and those quote unquote in my circle what I was doing and how it works, and if they wanted to participate. Since then, because I've become a little bit more vocal on LinkedIn, and again, that's something I'm still working on flexing. I've raised an additional close to 800,000. So about 1.5 million now. And that has simply been by putting myself out there and people that I haven't spoken to in years that I'm connected with on LinkedIn, reaching out, hey, saw you've been posting a lot about like real estate. We need to have a conversation. Like I've always been interested in this space. I've never like pulled the trigger, haven't like made that move. So like you're doing it. Let's chat. I'm interested. So that's been really exciting to see as well.
All right. Sweet. Okay, cool, man. So the value add space, looking into the future, is this somewhere that you want to spend time? Do you think you're going to do any more developments?
Yeah, I think I'm going to spend time there for a good while. I think unfortunately there's the next 6 to 18 months are going to be really interesting. I know a lot of people in the real estate space talk about it, but there's a lot of loans coming up and they're going to change from their floating rate into and just jump. I've also seen a lot of just with insurance rates also increasing. There's been an additional challenge for deals that have been purchased over the last couple of years that they didn't underwrite that into their deal, where I think they'll also come available. I've got a conversation tomorrow actually with a property. They unfortunately just defaulted on their loan. And so we're coming in and seeing if we can just help rescue the property and just the loan and the group that's kind of going through this. And so I think there's a lot of those opportunities. And I think a lot of that honestly comes from these BC value add properties where people, unfortunately, like none of us can predict the future. They bit off a little bit more than they could chew. And now I think there's opportunity just for those that have been a little bit safer in their underwriting, if you will.
Okay, cool. And what markets are you specifically looking at?
So Dallas and Oklahoma. Dallas, Oklahoma City, and Tulsa.
Awesome. Why do you like those?
Well, I love Dallas because it's where I live. So it's really convenient. That being said, Dallas is obviously the hottest market. And if not the hottest market, top three hottest markets in the nation. And so that obviously proves its challenges. You have some of the best and brightest in the space that are operating here in Dallas. And so it definitely adds to the competition, but more and more people keep moving to Texas. It doesn't seem like there's any slowing down of people moving in, companies moving in. It's booming, it's growing. There's a lot of incentives for people to do that. And obviously that's a good thing for people that own property as values continue to increase. And then I really love Oklahoma, specifically Oklahoma and Oklahoma City and Tulsa, just because they've been growing slowly and steadily for the past number of years. And that's a really great sign. Tulsa has a lot of synergies with Northwest Arkansas, which for those that are unfamiliar, Northwest Arkansas has been booming and exploding the last number of years. And so really excited about what those two cities or what those two regions can do together.
Okay. And then how much of your success do you attribute to getting a mentorship program to help you guide you along the way?
I think it's definitely accelerated the process. I came in hungry and eager to learn, but knowing almost nothing about real estate. And now I feel very comfortable, still have tons to learn, but very comfortable just having conversations and just running it out to find properties, raise money. So I think it's played a huge role in success. I would say it's not for everyone. If you're going to spend the money on a mastermind, you better be 100% committed to learning and to doing it. But for those that are willing and wanting to do it, I think it's been tremendous.
Very good stuff. All right, man, let's dive into the lightning round. My first question to you is, what's the best vacation you've ever taken?
Best vacation, my wife and I backpacked through Europe for 6 weeks about 3 or 4 years ago. So about 4 months before COVID locked the world down, we were backpacking through Europe and it was unbelievable. And we'll never forget those memories.
What was your favorite city or location?
Favorite city by far was Florence. I loved Florence, and favorite part of Florence is if you're familiar with the Duomo in Florence, it's a big cathedral. We hiked all the way up to the roof and watched the sunset over the city on top of the Duomo. So truly the best memory.
I like Firenze quite a bit. Favorite book of any kind?
Man, I love business real estate books. And honestly, one very similar is Never Split the Difference. I love Never Split the Difference. It's a great negotiating book. It's incredible.
Awesome. How much of your success do you attribute to mindset?
80%, 90%, a lot. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, you can either believe that you can do something and achieve it, or you don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're not even going to try. And so I think mindset just sets the tone for your day. If I believe I can go out and accomplish something, even if I don't hit my goal, it just takes me one step further. And so I think just taking those steps every single day to better yourself will ultimately lead to success. And a lot of that comes back to mindset.
How long do you want to live?
As long as the Lord lets me. That's a good question. I don't have an exact number, but I would say I would love, my wife is pregnant with our first kid. I would love to see my kids' kids. So I would love to see my grandkids, have fun with my grandkids, play sports with my grandkids. That's what I want.
Wait, short answer on this. Best way to raise capital from your perspective?
Networking.
Can you tell me about a moment that changed the trajectory of your life?
When I first moved to Dallas, I opened up a logistics operation and 2 years later had to shut it down. And that, those 2 years changed truly how I looked at small business, how I looked at real estate, how I looked at just understanding how to just rebound from failure, if you will, and just take the bull by the horns, if you will, and keep working my way forward. So honestly, I think those 2 years really changed who I am as a person, who I am as a husband, and kind of a lot of kind of what drives me.
What would you need in order to 10X your business?
More deals, honestly. More deals, the pencil.
Deal flow. Okay, cool. What do you love best about working out?
I love just being able to just gain mental clarity. It might sound funny, but I love working out because it gives me a break and just de-stress, reorient kind of my mindset. So I love it.
A few more questions. Do your spiritual philosophies have anything to do with your success in business?
I think so. Absolutely. I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. And my goal is to just help as many people as possible. And I think just being genuine to helping others is really kind of helped me succeed, because even by helping others without expecting anything in return, it just happens to return. And so really just seeking first to help others has definitely made a difference.
Have you ever experienced a miracle or had a near-death experience?
Absolutely. I woke up this morning. I think that's a miracle. Yes. I think little miracles happen every single day.
Yep.
I don't think we only need to call miracles miracles if it's something massive and grandiose. I think even the minute things of our days are miracles.
That's a great way to look at life. Last question of the day, brought to you by Shanna Amigo. She would like to know, what impact would you like to leave in the world?
I would just like to leave the world a better place. I want to love hard. I want to encourage others. And I just want to help others succeed and just enjoy living life to the fullest.
Cool answers on the lightning round. All right, cool, man. Shout out to the Capital Raiser Nation. Thanks for tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star written review. Shout out to my sponsors, the Family Office Club and InvestNext. JE, how does the audience get a hold of you?
Best way to find me is on LinkedIn. To my knowledge, I'm the only JE Steiner on LinkedIn. And if it helps you find me, J.E. Steiner. Typically that helps.
Cool. All right. Any last words of wisdom for the aspiring capital raiser or syndicator as they scale on their journey?
Man, keep going. Don't give up.
Awesome. All right, cool, man. Well, this has been great to get to know you, dude. Thanks for enlightening us a little bit about your process and getting involved in syndication. And shout out to Josh Ferrari. Good dude. Go check him out as well. And with that, we're going to let you go, man. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it. Thank you.